Augustine Pier. The attorneys can be reached at 461-3000. That's 461-3000. Or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
You're listening to The Truth, 91.7.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion that we have right here on Let's Face the Issues each and every day. We'll be talking about an issue today that is current, an issue today that multitudes are talking about. We'll be talking about an issue today that I believe should get the attention of Christians, churches, pastors, legislators in America to stand up and do something about it that will close the door for the potentiality in the future. I'm asking the question today, the issue today, have we lost our moral compass? Have we lost our moral compass? Ladies and gentlemen, the Super Bowl was an indication, I believe, of just how far America has fallen spiritually and morally in our nation. Listen, I'm going to admit to you there, first of all, I'm not a football fan. In fact, I don't take 10 minutes for any sports. You might say there's something wrong with that man. Maybe. But I'm not a football fan. I believe I could go 10 lifetimes without watching any football game, any other sports arena game whatsoever. Yet, I understand, ladies and gentlemen, that many hundreds of thousands and yea into the millions viewed both the Super Bowl game and the halftime show. We're going to focus on the halftime show. I don't care who won, but in the halftime show, I believe it indicates the level that we have fallen in America morally, ethically, and spiritually. It is a barometer that I believe we need to recognize that's registering the decay in our nation. And yet the scripture says that we are to be salt and light. Salt to preserve a decaying society. Light to expel darkness in a darkened society. And so my question is, are we failing at the responsibility that we have in America as Christians, as moral, ethical citizens? Are we failing to stand in our responsibility? That's where we'll be going today. We're going to invite you right after a brief monologue. We're going to open our telephone lines and ask you to call in. Join in the dialogue and discussion. Did you watch it? What did you hear? What are your thoughts? How do you respond to it? How should we then live as moral, ethical citizens in America? That telephone number, ladies and gentlemen, is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Love to hear your comments today. Let me remind you, as we face the issues, we do not base our decisions and our comments on denominational dogma, philosophical rhetoric, political prowess. We are basing our comments and our urging of what we should do on the central biblicist worldview. What does the Bible say? I call it the truth book. Jesus, speaking to his disciples in John 8:31-32, said this: "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth. John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. Thy Word is truth. Psalms 117:2 says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. I am so thankful that we can depend on God's Word as being safe, solid, secure, and eternal. Ladies and gentlemen, it was the secularist George Orwell that made a profound statement found in the dystopian novel entitled 1984. Orwell said this, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. Now, there are those out there today that want to argue that what happened in the halftime show was okay. Piers Morgan, for example, in an argument with another televised star, said that America doesn't have an official language. So what's wrong with those words that this Hispanic-speaking, demoral character, the halftime show of what he said? There was a challenge. And we're finding more and more of the declension and the challenge in America and the culture that we're finding ourselves in today, the plummeting of the morals and ethics and values. We're finding more and more people that want to challenge the mores and the foundation and the standard that our nation was founded on, Judeo-Christian values. Yet we have those who will scream and cry, America's not a Christian nation. We're plummeting toward a nation void of Christian values. But we're founded as a Christian nation. In fact, multitudes of our states, ladies and gentlemen, still have in their state constitutions where you need to be a Christian to run for office. Many of them have eradicated that, changed that, modified that so that it would not be the standard. But that's the problem. We've left the standard. And the Bible is very clear in Psalms 11:3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And we're witnessing the foundations in the United States of America, the building blocks of our nation, the fundamentals of our foundation, morals, ethics, and values. We're witnessing those being eroded each and every day. We're going to talk about this today, and I'd love to hear from you. It was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that made this statement. It could not be any more powerful, any more clear than we're seeing today. But Jim DeMint said this, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. And ladies and gentlemen, we're witnessing that today, and with the Super Bowl game, of which I did not watch, have not listened to, but I've done a deep dive into the research, what was said, when it was said, what was spoken, and the effect that it has in our nation today. We're looking, ladies and gentlemen, at a declining moral, ethical value standard in America. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, made this statement in part. Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge. And we attempt to do that. In fact, according to my Bible, in Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter, as Christians, as pastors, as spiritual leadership in America, we need to be the watchman on the wall. And every Christian, I believe, should fall under that banner of being the watchman on the wall. We then present the truth. And when the truth is presented, there's a challenge to the heart to adhere or to reject. Then Ezekiel asked the question in chapter 33, verse 10, how should we then live? And the question was postulated then and should be now based on what we're talking about today, what we're referring to today. How should we then live? What should we do about it? That's the bottom line of this broadcast today. What should we do as some would call it, the common ordinary Christian, the man on the street, as some have called it. How should we respond? What should we do? Should we sit back and allow it? Should we say, well, that's the secular world and it doesn't affect me? Or should we stand up, speak up, be heard, be seen? That's my challenge for this broadcast today. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about the power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, well, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of the I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. Ladies and gentlemen, there's an identifier, a benchmark. On the campus of Tools for Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows Old Glory, the U.S. flag 24-7. Find that flag at the flagpole, the base of the flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, let me do a brief wrap-up on the monologue and then invite you to call in today. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. What do you know about the halftime show? Ladies and gentlemen, it was laced with vulgarities, gyrations, the open vulgarity of talking about body parts, and I could go on and on. And I'm having to be very restrained because the material that I've read is pure smut. It is pure garbage that was performed and spoken for the whole world to see. It tells the world where we are as America. It tells the world how far we have fallen in the pits of demoralization and the vulgarities that are being spoken and the moral slime pit that we've fallen into. Ladies and gentlemen, that which I've researched shows the vain, vulgar, vacuous void of any morals that you could imagine. Now, I reckon there's a deeper question that I have asked. How did the owners of the NFL, how did they come to make the decision to use this as the halftime show? Who made the selection? On what moral, ethical ground was that selection made? Who was the intended audience? What was the intent of the demoralization of our nation? What was the intent of having Hispanic? In fact, I understand that only one line, whether short or small, I don't know, only one line was spoken in English. Everything else was in Spanish. What was the purpose of that? Who was the audience? What was the purpose of it? Ladies and gentlemen, just where have we... what have we done with our morals and ethics? Where have our morals gone in America? The NFL and the Super Bowl with the owners. Now listen very carefully. You can disagree if you like. The little that I have found on this, I understand the owners of the NFL are homosexuals. Now you can disagree. That's my opinion. And as a result of having no morals and no values, no ethics themselves, they appear to be attempting to force their own lack of morals, their own lack of values, their own lack of anything that would be called sensitivities. They're trying to force their moral standard on the nation. You say, how do they do that? Why would they do that? That's the grave question. Why would they want to do it? I don't know if you've found that or not, but if somebody's down in the slime pit, they want to pull you down with them. If somebody's fallen in the well, they want to pull you in with them. If they've taken a position that's a lack of morals and a deficit of anything that's called values, they want you to go down that dark road with them. There's a mindset that I'm going to hell and I'm going to take many with me. There's a mindset today in America that the demoralization and the sexualization of our society, we've been watching that through the LGBTQ sodomite agenda, we've watched that through the DEI agenda, we've watched that through the abortion, murder by way of abortion, and the upholding of that. We watched that for the full time that Obama was in office, the full time that Autopen Biden was in office. That was the focus, that was the push around the globe for the transgenderism and the homosexual mindset through the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. And just perhaps, we're witnessing, or witnessed, those that watched it, witnessed a little tip of the iceberg, a little bitty peep, if you please, into the real focus on multitudes of these deep-pocketed major corporate entities and what they're wanting to do to the American culture and destroying it. I believe that's what we've seen. That no ethics, no values, no morals. Listen, how do we expect our young people today, the youth in America, the preteens and the teenagers in America, how can we expect them to have a moral, ethical standard if what is before them is immoral, unethical, and no standard at all? The basement, the mud, the slime in the basement is what they're seeing. And they're going to replicate, duplicate, imitate what they see and what they hear. We find places like Spangenberg, the new governor of Virginia. The first thing she did after going into office as a woke progressive, by executive order, she put back in place the immoral, ungodly standards in the educational system in the state of Virginia, placing in a position by executive order that you've got to have the DEI, you've got to have the LGBTQ, sodomite, transgender agenda from kindergarten through high school. What do we expect for the leadership of tomorrow if that's what they're finding as the standard in America today? I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize that what took place in the halftime show, as I would put it, there's no zip, zero, no redeeming value whatsoever, no value at all. Listen, I believe whoever's in charge, now some of our, and I'll talk about it in a moment, some of our legislators have written letters already demanding that the FCC do something about it. And yet we wonder, is it enforceable on a private corporate entity? But how do you get through the door? How do you break through the shell that will allow some rule, regulation, guideline, or law to prosecute or to in some way penalize the NFL for what they've done? And I believe it's a blow to America. I believe it's a devastating blow to our nation. I believe it sets the future standard. In fact, I read one article that said this transgender, sodomite, embracing LGBTQ advocate that was the great performer. I'm trying not to call his name. In fact, the name that he goes by, stage name, is not his real name. But ladies and gentlemen, who made the decision? Who made the choice? What is the redeeming value in what he said and what he did in the United States of America? And I understand that after the halftime show, his viewers, his wannabe followers went up by some 27%. That shows you the impact. That shows you the result. That gives us an idea, a little tip of the iceberg of what the future holds if the brakes are not put on this. I believe, ladies and gentlemen, there needs to be something done. I believe there needs to be a standard in some fashion that will force the NFL owners and others like that into the same standard. But, ladies and gentlemen, some of the things that were said in the lyrics and the words, discount for a moment the vulgarities and the gyrations, but some of the words that were used are simply illegal on any network across America, according to the FCC standards. So if you're going to blame anybody, those that broadcast it should be penalized and prosecuted to the greatest level, in my most humble opinion. What say you? The telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We've opened our telephone lines. Invite you to call in, join in the dialogue and discussion. Love to hear your opinions, your thoughts. How should this be done? What should be done? What should be the end result? Should we simply discount it, say that's what they've done, it's okay, I don't have to watch it, I'm just not going to turn my television on, I'm not going to join in that? And also, ladies and gentlemen, we'll talk about an alternative that was put on the air, an alternative to that vulgar, vacuous of morals and ethics and values program in the halftime. There was an alternate halftime show. We'll talk about that during the course of the broadcast today. Love to have your opinion. I'm looking at a headline that says, Bad Bunny identifies himself as a heterosexual but views sexuality as fluid, meaning he does not strictly hold to any standard. It gives his real name in this article, identifies himself as a heterosexual, but stated, at the moment, I'm heterosexual. But, and he goes into details of what he could do, would do, and has done. And further in the article, it says he supports the LGBTQ community. Despite identifying as a heterosexual, this individual is a strong ally for the LGBTQ community. He's been vocal about issues affecting the LGBTQ individuals and has participated in various activities and efforts to protect the LGBTQ community, leading protests in Puerto Rico for the LGBTQ rights, paying tribute to trans individuals, challenging traditional gender norms through his fashion choices and music that he puts on. This individual, this article says, influence extends beyond music. He's become a cultural icon in promoting inclusivity and acceptance for all genders, etc., etc. His performances often feature themes of gender fluidity and challenging toxic masculinity, end quote. Another headline, and we'll just touch on it, then take our callers. 5 times Bad Bunny proved he's the ultimate LGBTQ advocate. And it goes on to talk about the different appearances, the different places, the different things that he's taken up to go to battle for, etc., etc., etc. I believe we have Davis on the line. Davis, go with the question or comment, please.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. You know, you have just confirmed with what you've already gone through my convictions of our nation. I know our nation was founded on biblical principles. But just because you were born in the United States does not make you a Christian. Mm-hmm. Jesus, whenever he first to him, he said, you are of the Father, you're devil. People that know, and I'm not upset whenever I hear people say, well, we're not a Christian nation. We are not a Christian nation. We do have Christians living here, but our nation has gone to pot.
Absolutely, brother. And I believe this is a good indication of it. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you go back as far as you want to, I don't believe this would have been even considered of any value to go on a national network to be seen, not only in America, but around the world. I believe I'm correct in saying, based on my research about this, they say that some 120, 130 million people watched that garbage, not only in America, but around the globe. Can you imagine the emphasis that our global people think that America has fallen to? They'll look at it. In fact, at one time, I'll just say this to you as an illustration. Many years ago, we had an opportunity to have a major group of Russians that had immigrated to America. Our church had the privilege of taking a van, going to pick them up, bringing them for services. Never will forget, one of them told me, he said, in very broken English, he said, Pastor, America is Christian. America is Christian. Yeah. And I said, why say you that? He said, every street corner, on every street, there is a church. There's a church in Russia. We don't have that. America is a Christian nation. So what I'm saying by illustrating that is, there's a mindset around the globe that America is a Christian nation. They look at us as a beacon of hope, a beacon of morals and ethics and values that they do not have in their nation. We're saying to the nation now, we're at the very lowest level. We're falling into the slime pit morally, ethically, and biblically with no values whatsoever. I think that's what we're speaking. That's what we're promoting. That's what we're advertising around the globe. I think that it is, and here's one thought, and I would like to have your response to it. To the degree that we witness the apostasy of the church, the falling away from the church, to that same degree, we're witnessing an inflow of the demoralization, the lack of ethics and values in the population in our nation. We're witnessing a major diminishing of the church, but a major increase of morals, demoralization, and unethical practices. Is that what you see?
Yes, sir, absolutely. And this just proves the point that Satan has been, he's been busy for over thousands of years, but he's been working on the United States for near 250 years now, our anniversary. And boy, he has got a grip on us where minds are turned off from God and turned to the immoral things that was distributed in that the Super Bowl game.
Well, you go back to the sixth chapter of the book of Genesis, and you find that one of the, one if not the major cause of the universal flood is because said they thought and did, and I'm going to paraphrase, thought and their thoughts and their minds and their activities on evil continually. That means every day, day and night, they focused on, planned on what they could do that would be immoral, ungodly, and unholy. And God said, I'm not going to tolerate it anymore. And in the footnote even to that, I believe you can go back and study global history and find that most nations would not survive beyond about the 200-year mark. We're at 250 years for America. So that goes to the very point that I believe we're putting ourselves as a, in a position as a nation of inviting the judgment of God upon us for what we're doing. And yet, I see silence in our pulpits. I see most churches, most denominations, I said, we're not going to touch that, not going to talk about that. I'm just going to talk about Jesus and let the world go to the slime pit. I believe that's what we're seeing.
So yeah, I deserve do too. And just kind of like my grandpa used to say, to take the blinders off the mule so he can see things. And the Christians have been wearing blinders a long time.
Absolutely. You're exactly right. I'm saddened by that, but it's a fact. Brother Davis, God bless you, and thank you for your call.
Thank you.
God bless you. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking about the debauchery that was displayed on a global basis on the stage with the NFL Super Bowl. Did you see it? What are your thoughts? What do you think should be done? How should it be handled? How should we then live? Going back to the headline just before our caller, five times Bad Bunny proved he's the ultimate LGBTQ ally. Ahead of his 2026 Super Bowl halftime show, we're revisiting the moments that made him one of the music's loudest LGBTQI plus allies. In the article, it says, has consistently used his platform to stand up and stand out for the LGBTQ, I'm adding the word, sodomite community. He refused to be defined by his sexuality. He says that his sexuality does not define him. And this article that I'm looking at has pictures of this dude fully arrayed with false body parts to appear as a female in one of his shows. In fact, it says that he appeared on The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. And during that show, he wore a skirt and a sweater and all the other parts to fit that outfit. Witnessing trans allyship like this form, one of the world's most popular artists, that's what he's called, particularly in the climate, that has become increasingly, has become increasingly hostile. He says this trans, this freak says that the world's become hostile to trans people, and he wants to give a powerful reminder of how visibility and advocacy for influential figures can change the prejudices in the world. His mindset is that if he can act the part, talk the part, and use the vulgarity and the filth, et cetera, it will change the culture in the world. And he's exactly right. We see the culture going into the slime pit as a result of embracing so-called stars that many of our younger people today embrace. This is the reason we see, based on the statistical data that's just been gathered, that some 27%, I think it's probably higher than that, of those that watched, they, his fan base has increased. More and more people want to watch him, listen to him, etc., because of his global performance on the halftime show. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. So just what was the content? If you didn't watch it, and I did not, I've read it, I've reviewed it, I've researched it. So just what was the content of that? Ladies and gentlemen, it was a parade of half-nude women gyrating across the screen while the wild music was played and the garbage-filled lyrics were spoken, all in Spanish, except for one line, as I understand it. The entire event was laced with seriously foul, vulgar, filthy, immoral language. The ladies and gentlemen, the featured singers and their lyrics focused on sex and sexuality. One writer stated it this way, the halftime show was the most obscene show of all times, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the news break, we'll come back as we continue to face the issues. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
WTRJ, Orange.